Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
If your hair isn't performing like it used to, the answer isn't another hat. It's a proactive approach. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement brand. It's also NSF certified for sport and the official hair growth partner of Major League Baseball, the only hair growth supplement trusted by the pros. Visit Nutrafol.com, enter promo code PMT. Get $10 off your first month subscription, and you get free shipping. That's NUTRAFOL.com, promo code PMT.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
What killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age!
You want to come and join with you?
I'm going to make you famous, Lizzie.
It's not Al anymore.
It's Dunk.
Dunkachino?
Don't mind if I do.
I'm the Joker, baby.
All right, lights, camera, Barstool, movie and TV news time. Jeffy Lowe, Ken Jack, and Gooch coming at you here. Thanksgiving week 2023. A lot going on. A lot of trailers, a lot of interesting trailers, I might add, too. Interesting, I guess, in many ways, shapes, and forms. Very interesting trailers. We'll start off with the big one.
Yeah.
And to call it the big one is probably a disservice to like big trailers, but we will talk about Madam Web. Madam Web, part of the, what's the abbreviation? Like the Scum, the Spider-Man.
They Sony changed universe it. Of comic book movies or some shit.
It was Sony for a while. It was Sony Pictures universe of Marvel characters. So Spunk. Mm-hmm.
Stupid.
I'm spunking all over myself.
The wacky Spider-Man movies without Spider-Man. That's basically what they are. It's like if they took Spider-Man and they sucked all of his life out and then just splattered it on different movies. That's what these movies are. It's like he's not there, but they're gonna make sure the colors, the look, it needs to be Spider-Man adjacent. Madam Web stars Dakota Johnson, Sydney Sweeney, Emma Roberts, Adam Scott, much more people. They've been talking about this movie for quite a while now. Had some delays due to not COVID, but definitely some of the strikes. I don't think it had any COVID delays. It's hard to tell these days, though, what got delayed by COVID.
They filmed this last year.
Just feel like we've been talking about it forever. You know what I mean?
But it was definitely talked about for a while. And this was also, there were a lot of little things that happened like on set that people noted, like, oh fuck, is this in the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man verse? Like there was like little like numbers and dates and names on the set. So this has kind of been in the zeitgeist culturally for comic movies for a while. There have been other people attached to this, right?
Like who?
They've changed like who was attached.
They used up all the hot white women on this one.
They did. But there have been like random names attached to it, but they landed on like, I think they wanted like, I may be wrong, but I'm pretty sure they wanted like a big actress to be in this. I think Amy Adams. I may be making that up.
She would have been a good fit.
She would have landed on Dakota Johnson. She plays Cassie Webb, a paramedic in Manhattan and clairvoyant whose psychic abilities allow her to see within the spider world.
Okay.
Sydney Sweeney plays Julia Carpenter, a spider woman. Celeste O'Connor plays Maddie Franklin, a spider woman. Isabella Merced plays Anya Corazon. That's another character. Mike Epps is in it. Emma Roberts, Adam Scott is in it. The trailer is... So Cassie Webb is forced to confront her past while trying to survive with three young women with powerful futures. She can see the future and then goes in the, you know, then dips back into the present day and tries to alter it and figure things out. That's what you get from the trailer and that character. The trailer is horrible.
Bad trailer.
It's not just horrible. It is all time bad.
It's one of the worst. It's one of the worst in terms comic book movies. It's probably bottom three trailer ever made for a comic book movie. And then I would say all time trailers. It's up there.
This makes Aquaman 2 look like fucking a Stanley Kubrick production.
It was really bad, and I think something that made it feel worse is that it felt very much like the Morbius trailers, which, again, it's obviously connected to the same universe and all that. But there, I got the heaviest Morbius vibes watching this trailer. I don't know if you guys felt the same.
I thought Morbius's trailer was 10 times better than this. This was getting laughed out of the theater by teenage girls yesterday. Like the target audience was like, was laughing this out of the theater yesterday when it played before the new Hunger Games movie for me. It is laughable. Like, so bad looking.
Bad ADR, looks like shit.
And it's, I don't know. From the people I've heard from, it's a terrible storyline from the comic books too. Like, so there's not much to hope for here.
I remember when I was looking it up. So it's these two dudes that wrote this, Matt Sazama and Burke Sharpless. Fake names, fake ass names, by the way. These dudes stink. And I just went and looked at their filmography. We'll go down the list. Dracula Untold, the Luke Evans movie. Do you remember that one?
Of course. Who doesn't remember
Gods of Egypt, starring Gerard Butler, Nikolai Coster-Waldau?
Okay, I remember that one.
Yeah. And then Morbius.
It brought back the fucking Morbius.
Writers did this.
Sony is actively trying to tank the Marvel brand then.
But, and like, for no reason, though. It doesn't benefit them in any way. They don't get a draft pick out of consistently making garbage movies. You know what I mean?
Well, hear me out. They tank the Marvel brand. They tank the Spider-Man brand, make it really cheap, and then they buy the entire thing back from Marvel once the brand isn't worth anything. And Disney's having a fire sale here in 2 years. Sony buys it all up. There you go. They have Spider-Man to themselves.
I will say most people, not even like reasonably informed ones, whenever something Sony does something stupid, everyone just says like, oh, there goes Sony again. Like, no one's like, oh, Marvel's fucking this up. They're always just like, they feel like people can make the distinction between the two brands, which is bad for them. They should want to stay as glued together as possible.
Yeah, no.
And this, well, there's rumors now that it will be tied in directly to the MCU. They're saying like they're going to try and merge these universes in Spider-Man 4. It's just this is I will say, of all the things that have been happening at Marvel recently, the fact that just the in association with Marvel logo is in this trailer is as bad as any of them. Like, I saw a couple tweets when I quote tweeted it. There were people were like, oh, Marvel again. I'm like, no, this is not even.
Yeah.
There are people like, Kevin Feige should make them remove that from the trailer. Like, this looks, there's the one line in this trailer that people are talking about more than all the others.
Can I do the read?
Do you know what it is? Him?
He was in the Amazon researching spiders with my mom right before she died.
I have never. Look, so Dakota Johnson, I like Dakota Johnson. She's in things that I think she's great in. And I think Dakota Johnson's like a better actress and probably gets laid on from her due to 50 Shades. This, though, she looks so uninterested in this trailer. She looks like she would rather be on the red carpet with her parents talking about 50 Shades again, which was previously the most awkward encounter I've ever seen with like.
Or on Ellen.
Yes, or on Ellen, or like Ellen like harassed her.
That's not true, Ellen.
That's not true. That's when I became a DJ Stan.
Yeah.
That was awesome. Yeah, she was great in Cha Cha Real Smooth last year.
Great in most other things, like weird stuff.
When she left the Ellen set, one of the interns high fived her from the cage. It's like, thank you.
Dude, they all kind of looked pretty uninterested in this. Like, all of them are kind of like just mailing in lines. And like at the point, it's kind of tough to blame that on them versus a director who, like, or an editor even. Just like, how do you not hear that and be like, that's not the take we need? Like, do that again. You know what I mean? At a certain point, who do you blame?
I don't know. Hopefully they run like a, like, can they get like a different version in the theater so I can watch in sub? Get some Japanese voice actors in there to re-ADR the whole thing.
Let's just rewatch. I could watch the whole thing on like, this is a movie where like, I obviously it's built for cinematic experience and all that stuff, but I kind of wish I could watch it in like 1.5 speed.
It's also like the trailer, like.
How long is it?
You know what the movie, all right, let's be honest. We know what the movie strength is. You got a lot of hot chicks in this, like, that are going to be dressed up as like spider women. They don't play to that strength at all in this trailer. Like, you get one glimpse, maybe, of, I think, Sydney Sweeney's in a suit at one point and Isabel Merced's in her suit. And I think there's like just one glimpse and that's it. Also, the thing they're setting up with Ben, Adam Scott's character. I mean, 2001, he's a firefighter. Like, we got. They might be just rewriting the history on Uncle Ben here.
That guy's supposed to be Uncle Ben. I was in
pain. Is that who he's supposed to be?
Yeah, apparently.
Uncle Ben, I think that was the rumor. 9/11.
Okay, because I was going to ask you, like, who was Adam Scott supposed to be? Because that was when I mentioned all the stuff from the set. They said that. Yeah, I forgot. I knew Adam Scott's character was rumored to be associated with like the Parkers. So
Uncle Ben dying in 9/11.
Yeah, he's officially listed in IMDb as Ben Parker now.
Never always, not always a guaranteed source, but yeah, it's bad. Bad trailer. Just a bad. Like, there's not many trailers that stop me in my tracks anymore. This one was like, whoa.
Derailed my entire morning. I had to go through it. I was going through it like a Zapruder
film. Like, I almost expected halfway through the trailer audio to not even be aligned with the like the video anymore. I almost like expected. Like,
that kind of happened though. Like there was
it did look weird.
They flipped to Isabella Merced and like there was a line that she said that her lips didn't line up to. Like, how does a trailer like this get through? Like, I always think about this whenever something like this happens, not even just in the big movie, but in more of like the micro of a trailer, how many people saw this before it came out, the trailer, right? Like, how many eyes approved this? Because it was bad. How does no one say, like, that's bad, recut that, do it again?
I mean, there's a part in the trailer where it goes 5 seconds and there's 9 cuts.
So,
and it's just them talking to each other in the woods.
Yeah.
It's, and when was the last time Sony made a good movie? I mean, that might just be the issue here. Like, in general, outside of the Marvel stuff. Like,
when was the last time they what?
Made, like, a good movie. Like, Sony Pictures.
Well, let's see.
I'm on the list right now.
Like, Uncharted, I think we had fun with, but I don't think by any means is, like, in the good territory.
Let's do this. Yeah. Let's go to our website. It's been updated in a while. This will not include movies from... This will not include movies from this year, but... Yeah, Uncharted. Let's just read off the list from the last couple of years. Uncharted, Hotel Transylvania, Transformania, The Man from Toronto. Everyone remembers that one.
Stunk. Oh, the Woody Harrelson one?
Yeah. Where the Crawdads Sing. Bullet Train.
Solid.
Bullet Train.
That looked like a Sony movie, though. I'll tell you that much.
Father Stew with Mark Wahlberg. You could argue this is one of their better ones. Lyle Crocodile.
That's it's very true.
Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Okay.
Solid.
Vivo, that movie that looked like it was just Coco.
Yeah.
Which was pretty good. Let's see. Journal for Jordan, Peter Rabbit 2, Wish Dragon, Escape Room, Tournament of Champions, French Exit, that awful movie with
forgot about that.
Who was that? Was that Lucas Hedges and who was it? Michelle Pfeiffer. Yep.
Yeah.
9 Days. That was probably their best movie in the last 2 years. That was a really good movie.
Which one was 9 Days?
9 Days has Winston Duke, Zazie Beetz, Bill Skarsgård, Benedict Wong, Tony Hale.
Yeah. We interviewed
really good movie.
Yeah, that's right. That was really good.
Yeah, that was a good one. But that's like so low budget, like under the radar. In terms of big budget movies, their best movie probably in the last 3 years is probably Bad Boys for Life.
That's tough.
Yeah, I like the movie, but
that can't be your best.
No. Focus on like keeping your PS5 stocked up, Sony. Like
remember they did Fantasy Island.
Oh my god, dude! I think we gave that like a one. That was
all right. So they got their name on the Mister Rogers movie.
Now they're gonna do this fucking Legend of Zelda live action movie. Oh no!
Stupid. Oh, tough. So that is Madam Web. More Marvel news. Fantastic Four castings. Pedro Pascal apparently close to finalizing the deal to play Reed Richards. There have been rumors that Jake Gyllenhaal might play that character. It seems very, very, very likely that this is set in the past in a different universe, and they get brought over into the MCU timeline, the main MCU timeline. That's what the rumor is. I wouldn't be shocked if I would like. There's maybe like probably like a sting or something at the end of like Deadpool, right? Where it's like, if he's really bringing over like the X-Men, like he does something with Fantastic Four, that wouldn't shock me. I also read somewhere that John Krasinski was offered the role, but I guess he wants to, which makes sense. He wants to direct and make things. And you tie yourself up to this role, you're tied up for a while. I don't know how Pedro Pascal is doing this role. Apparently he's not going to film any of the next season of Mando. He's just going to do the voice work, which is what he did the first season.
Yeah.
So it's not that big of a deal. I don't know. I think it's a good casting. Again, I got to see the whole all four here.
They got to go outside the box on the other three, or at least on like two of the other.
But they're pretty. The rumors are they're pretty locked into the other three, right? Vanessa Kirby, the guy from The Bear, what's his name?
Jeremy Allen White.
No.
Moss.
Not the Bear himself.
Evan Ross Bachrock.
Yeah,
he was at my gym a few weeks ago.
I love that dude's face. He's got a great face.
Ebon Moss.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, he was at my gym. Yeah, very.
And then what's his face from? Stranger Things. I'm bad with names right now.
Oh, Eddie.
Eddie Joe Munster. Quinn. Yeah, that's right.
That terrible, terrible
pick. Yeah, they say he's gonna. So that's what the rumor is. Now, keep in mind, Pedro Pascal came out of nowhere. Nobody had Pedro Pascal, so those all could be wrong. Though the Vanessa Kirby one is like, there's almost too much smoke.
She's playing into it at this point, like saying it.
Yeah, this is. I don't know if I like Pedro Pascal is my like I think he's an obviously awesome actor. This isn't a role like I think I want him to do. Like it's a selfish thing. It's not to say he won't be do it and do it great. And why would he ever listen to anyone else's opinion on taking a movie role like that? Probably pay him $1 trillion. But like it's not a role like in my brain of like the Fantastic Four and how they bring it into this universe. He's not the face I see for it. And I'm expecting someone younger.
Well, you're expecting Ian Gruffudd from the first two.
I'm expecting someone in the age between Ian Gruffudd and Miles Teller, like someone between that age group to kind of like give us something new. No, the opposite. Like closer to like a mid-30s ish type of age. Where like they were supposed to be how old in that other one? They were young. But I expect someone in the 30s just like you can kind of grow with them. But it feels like if you're starting off with Pedro Pascal, then you're not. You're kind of like this is a lived-in sort of universe already. And that's not the case necessarily with Vanessa Kirby or actually it definitely is with Eben Moss Bachrock.
Yeah.
Right? Moss? Or is it? Bachrock's the last part of his last name. Oh, fuck it. I feel bad because he's an amazing actor, but still, yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know who I would want instead. I don't think I would want Krasinski just because it's like distracting. But I don't know. Just didn't see Pascal.
And now, folks, a little Eben Moss Bachrock.
Yeah, a little Austin Powers. Mr. Ben Bachrock.
But now Pedro is like a good pick, I guess, but he's also just incredibly safe. Just so safe.
Yeah.
Like
we don't know, it's
a safe pick. You're right. You're right.
Just like, they're like, we know that everybody in America likes him and everybody in the world likes him. So we're going to, you know, put him in this big role.
Picking Tom Hanks.
The Joe Quinn one, I have more problem with. Like he's just not, he's not the hot guy. He's a handsome fellow.
He's not Johnny Blaze or the
fuck. But like, you got to be a hot dude to be playing the Blaze man.
Yeah, you got to be hot and sexy. He's not. He's British. You can't be hot and sexy and British.
Still want Skylar Gisondo.
Yeah,
still think it'd be a good pick.
The Gist man would be solid.
Vanessa Kirby also. Yeah, Vanessa Kirby. I think they're only 10 years apart in age, but they look way.
She could pass for like 20s. She's crazy.
Yeah. So like, and they're supposed to be together. So
yes.
Little.
Unless they change that too.
Hmm. And there was also those rumors that it was going to be like her movie, right? At one point. And that's why they couldn't get them to sign on for.
There's rumors of like Javier Bardem playing
Ben
Galactus,
Grimm?
I think.
That's another like safe ass. Like,
there's some wild shit thrown out there. I just want to see it.
Because I was looking at that casting news and I was like, when was the last time Javier Bardem? Like, let's look at his last 10 years of movies. It's tough. It's not great.
Skyfall. I like him. I think
Skyfall was 2012 though.
Yeah, damn.
Yeah, it's a long time ago.
His past 10 years are tough.
It's a lot of weird shit. Like, which I think like, it'd be like Mother and shit like that, right? Like, let's see.
Yeah, I forgot he was in Mother. Yeah,
that's a lot of I remember seeing him in. Where I was like, why is he here? I feel like he's up
there. They've thrown Antonio Banderas around the block as well. So.
Let's see. Lila Crocodile. There we go. That's the one we missed. And Little Mermaid. Oh.
He was not aware of being in that movie.
Okay. Being the Ricardos, he was good as Desi. He was good as Desi. I'll give him that for sure. The good boss, Dune. Dune, he's there
for sure. Okay, yeah, Dune.
He's there for...
He'll be in this Dune more than... Yeah. He'll be in Dune 2 more than he'll be in that previous one.
Exactly. That Kingdom Come, Loving Pablo, Mother, yeah. Pirates of the Caribbean. I forgot he was there.
Yeah, he was the dead man.
He
was telling no tales.
He was Armando Salazar.
Yeah, yeah.
He was the with the weird.
Ian McShane was Blackbeard.
Ian McShane. Yeah, shout out to Ian McShane. Where's he been at?
I don't know.
He didn't come back.
Other trailer for Ted like The Bear, played by Seth MacFarlane, the Ted prequel series, no Mark Wahlberg, no Mila Kunis, no Amanda Seyfried. It's a prequel set in 1993 with the John Bennett as a kid, the character played by Mark Wahlberg. Seth MacFarlane is back to write and direct, but I don't know. Comes to Peacock in January 2024. I'll definitely watch it, but the dynamic of Mark Wahlberg with The Bear is like a big reason that those movies work.
I don't have Ted fever. I'll just say that.
Yeah, I don't got Ted.
Like first Ted 2, yeah, that's enough. I'm good with Ted for a bit.
Ted 2 is a lot of funny jokes, but even like
they're people so who far.
Worked on Ted 2 admitted that like Ted 2 is not nearly as good as Ted 1. Like they lost some of the juice.
Yeah, it's the sort of novelty of it was kind of died out after the first one. And I don't know if I want to just watch one where that has really no names attached to it, to be honest. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, hey, we're going to do the same thing, except none of the famous people are in it. And it's him and an actual child instead of a full grown adult, which was kind of like the big funny novelty of it was like this tiny teddy bear smoking weed with an adult man that works at a car rental agency. Like, that's funny. But adding it to a kid, not really funny. That kind of becomes like a kid show. You know what I mean? And then it's not what they're going to do, but still. I don't know. I still do not have Peacock, and I'm not going to get Peacock for that.
All right, Gooch, do you got Ted fever, brother?
No. I've got A Million Ways to Die in the West fever, and I wish they made it into a series.
I kind of liked A Million Days, but there's some jokes in that. It's
funnier every time I watch it.
That's the Seth MacFarlane experience. It's like you get like 60% shit, 60 to 80% shit, but in that 20 to 40, he really hits. Like it's the same thing with Family Guy, same thing with Ted 2. Ted 1 was like, I'd say like 70% good, 80% good, like 20% bad bits. But like Seth MacFarlane is just a bit machine.
Yeah. Do you remember how Giovanni Ribisi's dating Sarah Silverman, who's a hooker, right? And she's like, she refuses to have sex with him because she said she's saving herself for marriage, even though she's a prostitute.
Yes.
And there's a scene where he asks her, he's like, yeah, I thought maybe we could kiss today. It's like, no, baby, I'm saving myself. And then like a guy going up the stairs is like, Ruth, let's fuck. And they go back up the stairs. It's just, there's so many good little bits in Million Ways Down the West.
My prediction is this series does suck, but you'll see nonstop clips of it on TikTok. Yeah. It'll be like one of those things where like it'll have like a couple 2 minute good, like really good, strong spots.
Yeah.
And that'll just get passed around.
And it'll be you'll be watching it like part by part by part on TikTok in like 2 years.
You know what if the Ted CGI is fucked up?
Yeah.
the VFX industry is in shambles. They couldn't handle another Ted.
Let's do Prop Bear. It might be funny if
it's
like,
actual Prop Bear. It's like Universal or whatever, they their graphics team unionizes and quits over grueling Ted.
Ted demands
grueling. It took us 5 weeks no sleep to render Ted.
Yeah, nonstop.
God, I haven't seen my family. I'm not going home for Thanksgiving. I gotta make Ted jerk off.
Yeah,
it always reminds me of the behind the scenes for Transformers Revenge of the Fallen when they were like, yeah, it's taken us 3 months to render out this one frame of this giant robot.
His balls over the pyramids or whatever. I just saw a funny clip where they spliced together Napoleon shooting the cannons at the pyramids with is it Age of Extinction?
Yes.
The Transformer attacking the pyramids. It was funny.
Historically accurate.
Yeah. He's got the big fucking wrecking ball nuts on that Transformer.
All right, sorry. All right, last trailer. This last trailer, speaking of Sydney Sweeney, this last trailer is the weirdest fucking thing I've seen with trailers. Somehow right up there with Madam Web. Though, good trailer, but just like what's happened with this movie is so bizarre. Anyone But You stars Glenn Powell and Sydney Sweeney. It's a rom-com. It's been teased the rom-com since it was filmed. They were on like the double-decker bus in New York, and it was going to be this like lovey whatever Netflix thing, right?
Breaking up each other's relationships too, yeah.
Yeah.
Can we, I don't know, Jeff or Ken Jack, if you saw her story from Friday, but I posted it, and I was like, Sydney Sweeney's fiance, civilian's fiance, do not look at her story right now.
Yeah, it was tough.
It was like,
they're working out.
It was like her sitting underneath of him. Like his legs were he was standing straight over her shirtless, like doing curls or something.
Friend of the show, Glenn Powell.
It was like, congrats, Glenn Powell on Men's Health cover. And then it was like a winky face with the with the P to make it look like the tongue was out.
the first trailer is like they made the trailer and then put it through a 50 Shades of Grey Incredible. Machine.
Yeah.
Because the first trailer had such a dramatic, romantic vibe. It was so unexpected. You were like, wait, what? You're like, this is supposed to be a rom-com, right? You're like, this is like a 50 Shades movie. And now the new trailer came out and it is a rom-com trailer. It's the weirdest thing I've ever, it is the weirdest one trailer to the next jump I've ever seen. Like weirder than Suicide Squad when they like redid the movie for the second trailer.
It's almost like an exercise that you'd present to like a film class and be like, this is like trailer cutting 101. Like you can completely change what the public thinks your movie's going to be just with a song choice and a few quick edits. Like,
yeah,
because these are two different movies. Like it's two completely different movies.
It felt like a film class thing where it's like, hey, here's 10 minutes of clips, make a trailer. Somebody made a romantic drama. Somebody made a rom-com trailer. Yeah. It's the strangest thing.
It's like very like erotic thriller first trailer, and then this trailer is very just goofball, stupid cues, bad jokes. Like my favorite rom-com thing is every rom-com trailer has this one moment where like someone says something dumb and then someone goes, "What the f-?" cut before they can say fuck, and that's every rom-com trailer. And then that's just like, I don't know. Something about this trailer, and maybe just this movie in general, feels very bad. And I don't know if this is just, and we were just talking about this with Sydney Sweeney and Adam Webb too. Her readings of lines in this were so robotic. Am I crazy in thinking that? Like every line she said, she's like, it was the same thing with Glenn Powell to an extent as well. Like, she's just like, no one would believe that we are dating. Isn't that crazy? Maybe we should date. Permission granted to grab my butt. Like, okay. Why am I going to watch this other than if it's two sexy people?
Yeah, exactly. I know why I'm going to watch. This is rom-com slop, so I'll be there, but I don't think it's going to be a genre-defining rom-com. No.
No.
Well, I mean, rated R, we get to see some Glenn Powell cheeks in there. Good for him, by the way. Great ass. Yeah. Great ass on that guy.
Yeah, I mean, he's like a men's health every other day, basically.
Yeah, but usually they only like show off, you know, like the arms, the abs and stuff. It's nice to see, you know, the derriere get some love.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good looking dude. It's nice to know that my squats are appreciated by someone.
We interviewed Glenn Powell. Yeah, we did. As I say, we interviewed him for Devotion.
Oh, Glenn Powell's he interacts with the LCB Instagram more than some of our biggest haters.
Yeah.
He's big, big friend of the show. Austin, Texas native. That's really it, I think, on news. I don't think there's anything really else.
Nothing crazy.
Nathan Fielder is doing a new bit.
Yeah, they did. Nathan Fielder and Emma Stone spoofed it within a day. It was very funny.
I haven't watched The Curse yet, but I feel like everything I see is so varying in responses to like what people think about it so far.
I mean, I'm going to do the thing I did with The Rehearsal and just wait for it all to be out so I can get a like full picture of it.
I'm going to wait for it to come out so that I can get a Showtime trial and watch it all at once.
That too. How the fuck did Showtime end up with this series? That's the question.
Great question.
Him on Kimmel was very funny. Saying he taught Emma Stone how to act.
Yeah, that was a good bit. Good bit, Nathan.
With the flatless or the brimless snapback.
Yeah.
That's it for trailer. Shout out Madam Web trailer. We need more trailers like that. Every now and then you gotta have a bad trailer. You need something that's just shocking. Trailers are so similar these days. That's perfect. We needed that.
Work hard and hydrate hard with Body Armor Flash IV. Whether you're working in extreme heat or powering through a long shift, Body Armor Flash IV delivers faster, longer lasting hydration. With more than 2,000 milligrams of electrolytes, vitamins B and C, and zinc, coconut water, and no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes, Body Armor Flash IV keeps you performing at your best. Get Body Armor Flash IV at your local 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
All right, Lights, Camera, Barstool, movie review time. We're talking, it's a little mouthful. The Hunger Games, The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes, a prequel to the Hunger Games franchise set 64 years before Katniss was in the Hunger Games. 64 years before the Hunger Games. I'll read you the synopsis in a second, but obviously no one back from the original movies. It was set so long before that. Tom Blythe, one of the two real main characters, plays Snow, future President Snow, as we know from the movies. Rachel Zegler plays Lucy Greybeard, who has some connections to we'll talk about the Easter eggs and all the connections. Peter Dinklage in it. Jason Schwartzman plays a relative of Stanley Tucci's Flickerman character, a different Flickerman. Viola Davis also in the movie. All in pretty solid roles, I'll say. I'm very curious where we all land on this one, because I kind of feel like we may like it more than critics didn't pan it, but they didn't love it. Audiences seem to like it quite a bit. It's got a 62% approval rating at Rotten Tomatoes from audiences, and 91% from audiences, 91% of audiences, 62% from critics.
That's pretty shocking.
Yeah, I'm surprised like half the people didn't like it. Like gave it like below a passing grade. That's like kind of surprising to me. Years before he becomes the tyrannical president of Pan Am, 18-year-old Snow remains the last hope for his fading lineage. With the 10th annual Hunger Games fast approaching, he was in the Hunger Games. Fast approaching, the young Snow becomes alarmed when he's assigned to mentor Lucy from District 12, uniting their instincts.
Back that up.
Lucy Gray.
You do not say her name without saying her full name.
True. Her name is Lucy Gray.
And they make sure you know it by making sure anytime she is mentioned, it is Lucy Gray, not Lucy.
Uniting their instincts for showmanship and political savvy, they race against time to ultimately reveal who's a songbird and who's a snake. A lot of, not fully mentioned in there, but Viola Davis's character, Peter Dinklage's character, very much a part of the power struggle, or rather the political struggle for the games, what they mean, should they do them, how long will they do them, and who will be in control. Spoiler alert, it's Snow. it's part of the problem with prequels. There's not much of a real concern there. So what happens to this dude? It's like, well, becomes the antagonist in four movies. I did enjoy this movie. It has faults. Like, it has some fucking problems. Specifically with the end of the movie. It's like, wow, it's a lot of stuff to take in. But I think the drama and what they set up here is pretty great. And I think everyone in it. See, we've talked recently about some like certain trailers and big budget stuff. We talked about like the Madam Web trailer, for example, different universe, but a universe nonetheless, shared universe. And the Madam Web trailer, we talked about people in that movie look like they didn't want to be there. Everyone in this movie is pretty committed and like really like lives within their roles. And these are, remember, like if you went into it forgetting what the Hunger Games was, there's some wacky fucking roles in the Hunger Games. There's some weird shit in here. And they're all committed and they're all very enjoyable. It's a really awesome, fun movie. And then the third act, it just kind of falls apart. Like, it just becomes too much like weight on top of the story. Like, it's just too much going on for me. Even though I do think it, like, the idea kind of lands, like I get how they wrap it, but it's just too much at the end. I liked it more than I liked both Mockingjays. So I gave it a 73 out of 100. I think Catching Fire is like great. It's like really, really good. I think Hunger Games, the first one was like, I think if they would have reshot the Hunger Games to not be like Jason Bourne times 10 shaky cam, it would have been better. But I think it's better than Mockingjays. I think this was close to being like just, I think this was close to being the second best beyond Catching Fire. So I did enjoy it though. I was, Kenja, you saw it first. You said you're like, guys, it's not that bad.
Yeah, we were all pretty excited because we were like, oh, it'll be a fun movie to dump on it. It's probably going to be shitty. It's this late stage Hunger Games sequel, prequel, whatever. But yeah, no, I was pretty shocked. I think this movie for the, through the
same first director, by the way, as Catching Fire, Mockingjay Part 1 and Mockingjay Part 2.
So first, for through the first two thirds of the movie, the first two acts of this movie, it's like a mid 80s probably movie for me. Like, I really was enjoying everything that was going on. Again, mega pleasantly surprised by everything. And just after that third act, it definitely goes off the rails and probably lands at around like a 75 for me. I think there's so much about this movie that was really entertaining because, like, number one, Hunger Games world is sort of intrinsically, it's like a YA property where, like, we feel like we've kind of maybe grown past it. I think they did a good job of like kind of hitting the reset button on a lot of stuff. They give you a whole new kind of like world building experience from that era, I guess, of their version of like the world and like the collapse of society and all that shit. And then like the resetting of all that. And I think all the actors in this were pretty great for the most part. Like, that's a great role for Peter Dinklage. Basically, he's playing like Tyrion, more or less, like in a kind of twisted sense, like that political savvy kind of guy that has regrets about having to do the things that he has to do and all that shit. I think, what's her name? Viola Davis. That's kind of a role where I don't think she had to try a crazy hard amount and was still able to leave like a very big imprint. And everyone else, like the guy, what was his name, Austin Blythe?
Tom Blythe?
Tom Blythe. British ass motherfucker. I've been a trillion dollars. I don't
no
know.
Relation to, no relation to
Donald.
Donald Blythe from House of Cards.
But yeah, I think he was solid. What's her name? Rachel Zegler, really solid. Everyone else, like just on the different elements of the movie, really solid. A lot, they do a lot of stuff in this movie that's surprising. I think the action's cool. CGI is never distracting really at any point, which is surprising as well. But I liked almost everything about it until you hit that third act, and it almost felt like they needed like 1/4 more of a movie and then just split it in two, if that makes sense. Because there is a changeover that happens in that third act that felt like it was more of the start of a third movie or a second movie, and they didn't have a chance to flesh it out. And they have almost this, it's stuff we have to talk about in sports. So let's see what this works. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff that I think they just kind of rushed through in that last act. And then they also have, and this is the first thing I think I texted you guys, is like probably the singular worst fan service moment I've ever seen in my entire life in a movie. Brutal, like stops the entire movie level bad moment in that third act. If we were just talking about like an itemized breakdown of my score, like negative actual 5 points for that, just for that line, for sure.
I'm giving it +5. My theater loved it. They laughed at it.
Yeah, but they're laughing at it in a bad, bad way. But yeah, pleasantly surprised in every way. I'd feel like there is a much better movie if they just fuck around with that third act a little bit. Or realistically, not fuck around with the third act. Chop off that third act and expand the first two acts and then cut that in thirds. That's what they should have done.
Yeah, no, I think it has like the opposite problem of the Hobbit movies, where that's like splitting one book into three. This feels like two completely different stories.
Which is crazy. That's crazy, by the way, because that's the problem. What's the problem? Mockingjay.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I think even Francis Lawrence, the director, I may be wrong. I think recently they talked about on our old friends, the Weekly Planet, they did their Caravan of Garbage series about it. I think they mentioned, I think they said like, the director's even like footing of the two is tough. Like it stretches it, but it's crazy that this one, it's like, wow, this might be too much. Yeah. Like, this might be too much for one movie.
But I also don't think that third act, even if you like add time, I don't know if that really works as like a standalone
movie. Yeah, so that's totally fine.
I do get the decision to fold it in, just like not very seamless in how they did it. 3 weeks ago, I got yelled at by fans online because I said, Five Nights at Freddy's, was a dog shit movie, and people yelled at me and they said, well, it's for the fans. This movie proves that you can make something for the fans that they will love and that can be good on its own as well. Because I honestly can't remember shit from the Hunger Games movies outside of the first one. This was fine. This was good. Good to great, honestly. Great through the first two thirds.
Yep.
I think they kind of undersold how much the Tom Blythe show this is. He was phenomenal, I thought.
Yeah, he was very good. He embraced that Snow. I don't think you need to remember much from the first two to remember like how good that Snow character is and like what he's kind of built on, and like he's very strict about his ways, and and I think it played perfectly into that character. Like I very much believed he was the younger version of that character.
And he also had to fight through some bad screenwriting and the Lucy Gray shit. That's in the same way that
was about to be my next point, was like he didn't have the most. He's working with a YA dystopian script, and you can tell it sometimes.
He's fighting through that, and Rachel Zegler had to fight through an accent that was they should have done.
Yeah, we'll get to that there and cons of the Zegler performance. Yeah. Which you guys might disagree, but overall, I am. We'll get into scores here in a second, but I was very pleasantly surprised. I'd heard for a while this wasn't testing well and people weren't loving it. And I think the fans will love it. Every fan I know I've talked to has loved it so far if they've seen it. This is how you do it. Like, you can make a good movie and make a good movie for the fans at the same time.
Mm-hmm. It's for me, it's. You have to find the balance of, we've said about everything, about keeping in the stuff that references the past, but not doing it in a truthful way. Now, there is the one thing that we talked about. It's like the one line about the name is obviously like crazy.
Outrageous. Whatever. Outrageous that makes
her sister or something, I think, is probably Katniss's grandmother. That's what I think the theory is, something like
that. Fucking cares, dude. That's outrageous.
But everything else is like pretty, like you have the white rose. You have...
Exactly. Subtle.
The song, even like the bow, I was like kind of okay with. Like she does the bow. Like there's plenty of stuff that references it. It's baked very, very heavily into the lore of the Hunger Games and into the universe, but never really in a way that's like, huh, that doesn't work. That's pretty stupid. So yeah, I apparently it was not in the script for her to bow like that. She apparently just did that on set, which I think is like kind of a ballsy move to do that and be like, oh, I hope this plays. Yeah. But like it worked well. So I think that's the thing. It's like they did for the most part, a pretty nice, like, I'm not going to rake him over the coals too much for the cat. It's fine. Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's dude. Yeah, that can't make it through. You know ridiculous. What I mean?
That but everything else is pretty good, and I think that's again that's wise. I understand Rachel Zegler being a huge part of it as well, but I almost feel like they didn't market and talk enough about how much like the snow angle was intriguing with this as well, because it really is. I think it's great. It's a really good part of this movie. It's very interesting, and that's the point of Viola Davis. Great. Jason Schwartzman, great.
Jason Schwartzman. Schwartzman cutting a rug.
Schwartzman was like, he had a night. He was 8 for 10 shooting, 7 for 7 from the line, 10 assists, 8 rebounds.
I love the flick. The flick. That's great.
You have to have characters who enjoy doing this. And I don't think they found a great balance in the last two Mockingjays. And again, same director for this as Catching Fire. Catching Fire, they had a fucking blast in that. Every character, Sam Claflin, who plays Joanna Mason, what's her name?
You remember the names better than we do.
Yeah.
Fuck, what's her name?
Goofy-ass names in Hunger Games.
Even Josh Hutcherson, like Woody Harrelson, they all, like, if you watch the difference between The Hunger Games and Catching Fire, and they're both pretty bleak movies in terms of, like, what's going on, they have so much more fun in Catching, like, they're enjoying their roles. And this one, you just felt it. I think that's probably why this was so enjoyable, that you just felt them loving that role. Again, especially Schwartzman. Schwartzman was just fucking.
He was cutting it up, dude.
He was like, there wasn't a line he read that didn't get like at least a little pop from my theater.
Yeah.
he was crushing it. He was so funny.
Who might you be? I love this guy.
Jenna Malone, that's right. She played Joanna Mason. That's right.
It was pretty inconsistent in terms of how it looked, but like when it looked good, it looked really good. Yeah.
Had that issue though, right? Because they've always had like the weird like mutts and like there's always been like some weird things in the movie where you're like, oh, that doesn't look that great.
Yeah, but like the costumes and stuff, of course, I think that's always been a strength of the franchise. Look really good.
Snakes were okay. I thought the snakes looked worse, but they looked okay.
Yeah, the high tech, low tech like look. Yeah. That's always just works.
That always plays. It's like the Fallout or whatever things. It's just, people love that shit.
Looks so cool. Ken Jack did bring up a good point. He said, who was Tom Bly's character, more or less?
He's Anakin Skywalker. He has, yeah. So his whole end of the movie, and this is where I guess we can mark spoilers for here. So his whole third act where he kind of does his heel flip, right? It's very, very Anakin Skywalker-ish to me, where he's like, good guy, good guy, good guy, good guy. One slight hiccup happens. I am now 100% evil. And like, no questions asked. I am now an evil man. And like, that to me is always very, like, I don't know what, I can't in the top of my head think of movies that have done that very successfully. But like, to me, there's gotta be more of a transition to like, wow, I couldn't find Lucy Gray for 5 minutes and now I'm an evil man. I'm going to murder everybody. Everyone, I'm going to have children sent off to their death because I couldn't find my girlfriend for 5 minutes. Fucking, it's just stupid to me. And that's part of what made the third act kind of dumb. But it's just, there's something that more that needs to happen there. And I'm sick to my stomach that they shaved his head.
Oh,
sickening.
The girls in my theater let out a gasp.
When his hairline gets exposed.
They weren't ready for that. Right after Harry Styles did it a week before, they weren't ready to have that, relive that trauma.
The British man hairline.
Yeah, and they also did not color his hair all the way through. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can tell he had the brown roots at the very end. I was like, I think he could have gone through one more time with the bleach. Yeah. They're also running through the woods. I'm almost positive it's the woods from Logan.
That's
like at the very end. Woods. Yeah. I'm almost positive those are the same woods.
Just picturing Logan doing that scream. What a great scene that is, by the way.
Oh, awesome.
Awesome scene.
And the Lucy Gray. Lucy Gray Barrett.
Lucy Gray.
Just Lucy
Where Gray. Are you, Lucy Gray? Lucy Gray. It's like,
just you pretty open ended ending too, in terms of where she is. So you'd have to think they're going to want to see this performed, and if they do it again, and
see, I don't want more of her. I think one issue. You guys liked her performance, right?
Yeah, she was fine.
I thought it was just so stagey, and the accent was. Oh.
No, it was very theater kiddish. I agree, but that's almost played into the character, which made it work. You know what I mean? She's a performer. In that sense, and like that's me.
Even in the private moments, I felt it was like
that's fair. Yeah,
yes, like the accent she put on was woo, woo.
Yeah, that was very like stagey Southern voice.
Beautiful singing voice. Good Lord, that woman can sing.
My name's Lucy Gray, and I sure like California peaches.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. It's very Southern Lucy Gray. Like, I don't know what you do, because like they're essentially supposed to be like, I guess, like gypsies or something, but like I don't know what accent you give them, but not that one.
Yeah, I don't know. That's an accent reserved for people not from there. I don't know.
I don't know what accent she needed for that, but something would have worked better. Or just no accent at all, like everyone else in the entirety of the series.
Yeah.
Is there anybody with an accent in all of Hunger Games other than her?
I think they kind of do in the first one.
Like, right? Does Woody Harrelson doesn't have an accent? Really?
No.
Like, he's kind of has a little bit of a drawl, but not really. Like,
have we ever talked about the Pan Am map?
It's just the U.S., no?
Yeah, but where everything is.
Oh, like split into districts? I know that like the Northeast is 12, right?
No, 12 is like Appalachia, West Virginia, Kentucky.
No, is it?
Yeah, so let's see. It's
because they showed the map a little in the movie.
That's why it was awesome when J-Law and Hutcherson got cast. Kentucky kids.
Kentucky kids? I didn't know Jay Hutch was.
Yep.
Yeah, district. So district 2 is like the West Coast. Like, though it's all like broken up. Like there is no Florida. Like Florida's underwater. A bunch of LA is underwater. Like the coast. Same with New York.
Oh, thank God.
District 12. So district 6 is like Ohio, district Michigan. District
1 is like Colorado? What the fuck?
Yeah, the capital city is like Denver. District 12 is, you're right, like Appalachia, close to like New York. New England's District 13, which is obviously, it's quote unquote, just remember District 13, not exactly leveled. It's really just like they're just building nukes.
Damn.
We're dead as hell in District 13. Shit.
This is my America.
Well, you're not dead. Remember, you're not dead.
Well, yeah, not technically, not actually dead, fake dead.
You're just underground building nukes.
Exactly.
What the fuck is Mexico?
Yeah, what happened to Mexico?
But they got
all the water. Yeah, Texas is like gone.
And Cuba's just called Snow Island. wait, hold on. They changed the names of the oceans and everything too. The Atlantica Ocean and the Grand Pacific. You're right. Yeah, great fucking
Suzanne Collins. I might have to come back through and reread your books.
Gulf of District 11.
Let's see what's going on here.
District 11. That's Mincy's district right there. This whole fucking like little panhandle thing, yeah.
I like that District 6 and District 11 cut off. It's just in the border of Kentucky and Ohio, just Cincinnati.
Yeah. It's an existing border, basically. Yeah,
it's still like Cincinnati still can't just live like it's got to be right on the border or something.
District 4. These are crazy. District 1, but why are District 1 and where's 2? Oh, 2 is what a weird. They gerrymandered the shit out of this.
And this is not a knock on Denver. I like Denver, but it's like our capital city is going to be in Denver. It's like Denver.
Utopia is going to be the dead center of the country, mega high elevation.
Yeah, that's probably why.
They're getting away. Great city. Don't get me wrong, but it's like Denver.
It's just Deion Sanders is the
very enjoyable. Very enjoyable movie, though, despite some faults.
I'm shocked by the 62%. Like that's what Marvel's pretty much pulled, right? Yeah. I think that's like dead on.
It's a pleasantly surprising movie, and I think that's something like I love that type of movie where, especially like in the bigger-ish budget movies, like I feel like usually you can make a good assessment of it, whether it's going to be good or bad based on trailers, people involved, early reviews, stuff like that. Like I feel like the critics are pretty dead wrong for the most part on this.
Yeah,
very pleasantly surprising and enjoyable as someone who's not the biggest Hunger Games fan by any stretch of the imagination.
No, and it's raking too at the box office. Literally wasn't an open seat in my theater
worldwide too, doing really well.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
We also the more and more we're blessed with more of like the games themselves, the better these always are.
Yeah,
like that is the problem with Mockingjay, and I think that's why I like the second one more than the first, because they are basically in the Hunger Games. In the second Mockingjay, they're just like all just they're trying to be killed. I do enjoy the like the game element stuff. Like that stuff I think always works the best. That's why I think the second one is great. And I do wish they would have redone the first one. Yeah. Like at least it had the same director. I think the first one would have been better if it was directed by someone different.
Some good deaths in this. When they introduced the child with Down syndrome, I was like, there's no way this person's gonna die. Her dying in like the most
fucked up way.
Insane way. That's one of those things where I'm like, you see that child show up and you're like, yeah, just like naturally they're not gonna have her die. She's gonna escape somehow. And then she dies like brutally. I was like, that was like a surprise where it threw me off as an audience member in a good way. You know what I mean? Like, I would never have expected that. Dude, but still, I was like, what the fuck?
They had someone die from fucking rabies in this.
Yeah, kind of.
He went rabid, and then he had to die.
Like, two people just shatter all of their bones.
One person had, like, tuberculosis.
One guy had one arm.
Just wouldn't stop coughing.
Dude, when she went down, I was just like, I was laughing. Sucking down rat poison. That shit was funny.
Oh my God. I
did like the little posses that they came in. The one guy wasn't named Reaper. Oh, that guy rocks.
Oh yeah.
Reaper. He had a cool death too, where he just kind of sits there and like lets himself get like involved in the snakes.
That guy was cool as hell. We need way more of him.
Way more Reapers.
Way more of him. When he pulled that flag down.
Woo. Yeah, that was a sick move.
Viola Davis's character was really cool too. Creepy. I like that.
Creepy as hell.
I don't really understand how she had come into power. Or like what her role was in the government. Like, was she wasn't the president. Was she?
She's just the head of the games, right?
Yeah, like, what is that?
Or like, where's the game master?
Is that Speaker of the House level? What is that?
But it only happens once a year, you know what I mean?
Like, who's a designated survivor during the games? Like, when the games are happening, who stays
there? You're confusing with Donald Sutherland, who's President Snow.
How many deaths away is she from, like, ruling the
media? I would say this series is very unapologetic about deaths. Other series could learn from it.
Yes, they
killed so many people in those first few movies.
Yep. And they did not give a rat's ass, which is a good thing. Good thing.
Yeah,
I gotta rewatch the old Hunger Games movies.
The first Mockingjay is, I think, the Mockingjay being one movie, it would have been good. It just drags. It just drags a lot.
Peter.
I love Catching Fire. I think Catching Fire is great.
Skill is that because I'm a baker, I can perfectly camouflage myself.
He paints himself into the ground. What a fucking loser. One of the best changes in the history of cinema. Is them changing Peeta's hair from the first movie to the second movie, though. It made that character, it was a different character, different world. Yeah. Same actor, just different character.
Yep. Very different. And then Tucci Man and Schwartzman should be in a movie together. I don't know if they have anyone that
can head.
But those two, that's a great, like, father-son, like they could be related, easily.
That's just a great character. The Flickerman character is awesome. Like, that just worked perfectly in that world.
I need to see, because there's a couple names when I was watching this movie where I'm like, the fucking
Hunter Schaefer, also pretty good.
Yeah,
limited, but she was good.
Final line.
Yes.
Where, like, you look just like your father or whatever. You remind me just of your father. Like, that was a really good line.
Yeah, someone who hasn't really watched a lot of Euphoria, I was like, oh, I get the hype.
You ever watched Euphoria?
I've watched, like, a few episodes and it was just like, yeah, not for me. Mm.
Let's see. Volumenia Gall. I knew her name was Dr. Bull. Casca Highbottom. Some of these just get rough.
Just the YA. Those are the YA names.
Exact. Clemencia Dovecoat, Festus Creed, Lysistrata Vickers, Felix Ravenstill. I couldn't figure out what his name was forever.
Next time we make like a fake post with fake journalist names, this is what we're going to start pulling from, is YA.
Arachne Crane, Jessup Jones. There's a lot of these names, dude. It's crazy. But Flickerman, I like. I'm a big Flickerman guy. What was his actual full name? Lucretius Flickerman. And they would do the
close-up magician,
an amateur magician. Like that's just funny. I did like when the one girl, when they're like showing off like the zoo, the one tribute just stabs the fuck out of that one girl.
Oh, right in the neck.
That was good shit. See, that's what I mean. There's a lot of good little surprising moments in that, which I really liked. Good ass, solid movie that just needed a different third act.
Yeah.
That's it for Hunger Games. Definitely worth a watch. Go see Saltburn as well. We'll eventually talk about Saltburn. Crazy movie.
Fucking insane, Jeff. It's fucking insane.
I if you don't like it, I won't argue with you. But I do like it. It's a lot.
It took me a good 10 minutes leaving the theater to decide if I was like, did I love that or did I hate that?
Just like the reaction is just like, holy shit.
We also got to do holdovers, man.
We'll do holdovers. It's as more people see it, We will do those as we always do.
If you're listening and you're looking for a movie to watch over break, that's the one you take your family to go see.
Yeah. That's it. That's it for a review of the latest Hunger Games, a ballad of like snakes and shit. Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes. Make sure if you're on YouTube, subscribe to the channel, like the video if you can, help us out big time. That's it for our review. For Ken, Jack, and Gucci, I'm Jeff Lowe. We'll talk to you next time.
Have a good week at the box office, folks.
At Boar's Head, we've been going back to school for over 115 years. And this year, every school lunch is reason to celebrate. with the flavors your kids love and the exceptional quality you expect. Helping you make school lunch fresh, easy, and delicious. Ring the bell. The deli is open. Boar's Head, committed to craft since 1905.
You should be. Meet the new Lucky One sweet tea from Miss Peaches, the vodka drink that's positively doing good. Made with real tea and real vodka, non-carbonated, 100 calories. And here's the scoop. Their new sweet tea is the only vodka-based sweet tea on the market. Simple ingredients in a smooth, full flavor that makes it taste just like the real sweet tea. Best part? Every can helps rescue dogs find their forever homes as they work to a goal of donating $1 million to dog rescues in 2026. So if you love true sweet tea, this one's a no-brainer. Pick up a Lucky One sweet tea today and give back one can at a time.
Look, if you're a bigger guy like us, have you ever bought a shirt that technically fits, but it doesn't, like, actually fit? That's why this is my favorite brand of all f***ing time. One Bone. I'm in love with everything that I put on today. In fact, I would say I've never loved a brand more than One Bone. Trust me, you guys are going to romanticize getting dressed in the morning. That's what One Bone does. Go to onebone.com and upgrade to a fit that is actually built for you. Use code Barstool for 20% off to see the difference firsthand. After one wear, you'll understand why standard fits don't make the cut.
We had help.
On August 21st,
we have a stowaway.
Mutiny arrives on the big screen.
Who are you?
It is Trust Me.
Jason Statham stars in the action movie to end your summer.
What do you want?
Vengeance.
Mutiny. Rated R.